It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep with Renee Montaigne. We can argue whether it's better or worse, but there's no doubt that Iraq is different than it was 5 years ago this week. That's when American forces attacked. They drove Saddam Hussein from power and also unleashed years of violence. This week we'll survey how a nation changed and how it's still changing.
We begin this look back in the first weeks after the invasion. American forces had been sweeping through one Iraqi city after another, arriving finally in the north in Mosul. And here's NPR's Ivan Watson.
Smoke billowed from the rooftops of northern Iraq's largest city today. The fires weren't the result of airstrikes or artillery attacks. They were set by Mosul residents who responded to the withdrawal of Iraqi troops with a frenzy of looting, arson, and vandalism. With no police or soldiers to stop them, mobs broke into the banks and government buildings located in the city's central square. By noon at the Mosul branch of the Central Bank of Iraq, men and children had shattered all the bank tellers' windows and ripped open the doors of the vaults.
That's Ivan Watson in Mosul, and the general leading those troops was a two-star named David Petraeus. He's back in Iraq now, a four-star, head of all U.S. forces there, and trying to find a way out of what his troops helped start back in 2003. Today, we're visiting one place, the city of Mosul, to chart the challenges it's faced and the changes over 5 years of war. Our guide is NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro, who's in Iraq, and she's reported from Mosul. And Lourdes, let's begin by having you sketch for us a portrait of this city.
Well, Mosul is a pretty unique place. It's been inhabited for thousands of years. It used to be called Nineveh. It was the ancient Assyrian Empire's capital. The ancient Assyrians' patron god was the god of war. And you'll see that some would say the god of war still dominates Mosul. Today in Mosul, there are still Assyrians there. They are Christians now and in the minority. They live in what is one of Iraq's most ethnically and religiously mixed cities. Under Saddam, though, a lot of the officer class of the Iraqi army was drawn from Mosul. And it was seen as a city that had a great number of Saddam loyalists. Don't forget Saddam's son Uday and Qusay were found and killed in Mosul.
And when he was there in the spring of 2003, here's what General Petraeus said.
Every city that we liberated, we were applauded and given thumbs up everywhere we went. It's temporary if we don't get it right. Our determination is to do the very best we can to get it right.
And of course, things began to get worse by the end of 2003. We were reporting small spikes of violence, but it turned out these were a harbinger of what was to come.
That's right. And in April of 2004, Steve was there.
There's a different feeling on Mosul streets than there was last year. In May, the city was considered safe enough for U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer to stroll those streets without a flak jacket. This week, Paul Bremer returned for another visit, but instead of going into town, he remained inside the U.S. military base here. In the last few weeks, half a dozen foreigners have been assassinated in Mosul.
Hearing Steve there talking about half a dozen foreigners assassinated, it sounds almost like an omen. And by the fall of 2004, it did come to pass that things got much worse. Here's Phil Reeves with soldiers on patrol in Mosul.
The soldiers clamber out into the bright, cold morning. There's hardly anyone around. The shutters are up. The surrounding buildings bear the scars of battle. The bodies of three men, shot through the back of the head, lie by the road. They seem to have been deliberately placed there so the public can see them.
And Lourdes, how had it gotten to this point?
One of the big mistakes, Renee, of the war at that time was that the military retreated from the cities, and Mosul is a classic example of this. They built mega bases, they would not interact with the population, there was no reconstruction going on, there was no real civil affairs operations, no State Department reconstruction teams wandering around. There were quite simply also not enough soldiers to provide real security. They would go out into the city to conduct raids, to arrest bad guys, as the military calls them, but there was nothing else going on that would build Iraqi society, especially in Mosul. And the Iraqi security services, dramatically in Mosul, were not up to the task. I remember in 2005, when the elections were taking place, the entire Mosul police force just vanished. They refused to do their job. They didn't show up for work. They refused to help with the elections. And the result was that much of the Sunni Arab population of that city didn't vote. They got no representation in the local council, which is still a huge issue there today.
And there was a period there where things calmed down a bit, although it didn't last very long. What was going on in the rest of Iraq as the year ended?
The focus moved elsewhere. Mosul was kind of left to its own devices, and it ended up sort of sliding back into this war of attrition there. The nadir for Iraq came, of course, in 2006 after the golden dome of a sacred Shiite shrine was bombed in the city of Samarra. Civil war broke out in Iraq. It seemed like the rest of the country was going up in flames, and that was concentrated in Baghdad. Mosul didn't see the kind of sectarian infighting that characterized the fight in Baghdad, and it seemed that all the resources, all the focus went down to the capital.
Which brings us to what has come to be known, commonly known as the surge. The idea behind bringing in more American troops was to put a lid on this violence.
The surge is an exact reversal of what the military had been doing up until that point. They were trying to operate, as I said, from those mega bases with not enough resources. The idea of the surge was to bring in more troops and bring them out into the cities and smaller bases so that there would be a real U.S. military presence out in neighborhoods. Many of these troops, though, came to Baghdad. And what we saw in Mosul was insurgent groups leaving the capital, being pushed up north. They were essentially being squeezed out, and they moved to a place where there was still a receptive population, and that was Mosul.
As we look then at this one city, here's where things stand, at least in Mosul. It is full of fighters, of insurgents.
They are certainly concentrated in Mosul, and they are fighting for that city. The Sunni Arab population there is disaffected. They didn't vote in the elections in 2005. Their local council is dominated by Kurds. They feel totally disenfranchised. I was just there a few weeks ago, and there is a serious fight and a real sense of despair, I think, in the city of Mosul.
And we have a bit of tape from a recent story of yours, and let's play it right now.
The convoy enters a crowded neighborhood with houses close in on either side.
Hey, we got guys running in front of us.
The street is suddenly empty. Then...
Small arms! Small arms! Hey, if you see small arms, light them up! Hard right! Where? I can't see it! God, man!
The convoy takes fire from all sides.
So, Lourdes, you're in the middle of a firefight there. What was it like?
It was terrifying. And afterwards, what really stuck in my mind was I had been here in 2003. I had gone out to a cafe at night. I'd gone to a pool hall. I'd wandered the city freely. And 5 years later, I'm sitting in the middle of a Humvee taking fire from all sides from Al-Qaeda in Iraq. The difference couldn't have been more dramatic.
How emblematic is Mosul of this war as it goes into its sixth year?
I think Mosul was a really good choice to look at because I think it's extremely emblematic. It seems to just go on and on and on. The U.S. military takes part of the city. They lose it again. Insurgents move out. They move in. And the people of Mosul, the ones that I saw, are exhausted by the last 5 years. Things get better only to get worse. And we've seen that in many parts of Iraq.
Lourdes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro joined us from Baghdad. Steve?
And you can listen to 5 years of coverage of Mosul at NPR.org. Tomorrow, we'll get another view on the next steps for Iraq. It comes from an American general who wants to make sure Iraq's central government stays in touch.
We call it reverse helicopter governance. And what that is defined as is bringing the ministers to the provinces.